Live from the top of the Empire State Building. Get ready for the everyday entrepreneur experience. Sit back and crank up the volume. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny E. On this episode, number 35, this is a special episode. One of my mentees, my young entrepreneur mentees, sent me a question about the blue collar industry, wages, and if it's possible of becoming a self-made blue-collar billionaire. And my answer to that is yes. And in this episode, I'm going to break down exactly how that's done. So to all my young entrepreneurs out there, take notes. You can take blue-collar wages and become a millionaire, billionaire, etc. Now, perhaps there's nothing more condescending or ill-informed than the questions directed at teens who are looking to pursue blue-collar careers. This is one of the questions that they get all the time. If you're just going to be, for example, a construction worker, how are you ever going to get rich? My response, the same way anyone else does. Financial discipline, planning, and hard work. However, one important caveat is necessary. It's easier to become a millionaire with a high-paying, blue-collar job than it is to become one anywhere else. Most blue-collar careers requires no or limited secondary education, resulting in earlier earnings, less college debt, and significant earlier savings. Because of the power of compound interest, early additions to your savings account can be the most important terms of your long-term financial health. How much better is it to earn without a college debt, you may ask? According to my research, the average bachelor's degree holder takes 21 years to pay off their debt. That means blue-collar workers can have a 25-year savings head start. In addition, the demand for some blue-collar positions is so high that their earnings vastly exceed those of positions requiring college degrees. Many blue-collar jobs can make you a millionaire. So how do you intend on becoming a millionaire? Hopefully, is by pursuing a career that interests you. If it's a job that requires a degree, great. If it's through a lucrative career where you can increase your net worth without college debt, even better. Let's talk about financial advice today to help you guys become a millionaire. So, how can you put a financial plan in place to become a millionaire? That's the question. Basic personal finance advice can help everyone establish comfort, peace, and freedom. Even if you feel like you've been sent up a creek without a paddle, when it comes to managing money, I am not only a master at it, but I'm here to help. Let's begin with understanding your money mindset. The first thing I think every single person needs to understand is his or her own mindset when it comes to money. A lot of people buy things they think they need because of what their friends have or because they've seen a commercial or an ad online. However, they don't really want or need it. And they usually feel miserable or full of regret after making the purchase, especially when the bill arrives. I believe all your purchases should be screened on the effect the purchase will have on you psychologically. Seriously, ask yourself this question. Whenever you're about to purchase something, will buying this cause me stress or make me feel better? Notice I didn't ask if it made you feel beautiful, rich, confident, popular, smart, elegant, worthy, sporty, athletic, or better than any of your peers. You see, when you watch a lot of the commercials on television, they're making you a sort of promise. If you buy this makeup, their clothes, their car, their home goods, their appliances, their whatever, you'll feel better in some way or another. This implies that you're not enough as you are. You need the extra whipped face cream that costs $90 to be more beautiful. You need the truck with more horsepower to be more tough looking and cool. You need the refrigerator that creates your grocery list for you because you'll be lost without it, right? But here are the questions that we don't ask ourselves when we buy things. Will this make me free? Will having X, Y, and Z, whatever it is, improve my life in some way? Will it allow me peace of mind today, tomorrow, the next 5 years? Freedom feels differently for everyone, and freedom is the goal here. If you're buying things to make yourself feel better, prettier, skinnier, rich, younger, nothing you buy, again, nothing you buy will actually do that because you need to fix what's going on inside first. Once you believe you're enough, pretty enough, smart enough, healthy enough, etc., you're not going to look for external validation or a purchase to prove it. When you have a better idea of your goals and a realistic perspective, you can invest that money in things that will get you closer to your goals and really bring you happiness. The second part to this, establish credit, but don't get buried in it. Notice the word established. They use the word established because credit is actually built by the individual, not just given to them. You begin to build a documentable reputation for paying your bills and paying them on time and as promised. And you should start young and proceed slowly and surely. One of the things I tell every young person who comes to me for financial advice or coaching is to get a credit card. Bear with me now. I know I just told you not to spend beyond your means or buy things you can't afford, and that's all still true. But the reality is, if you ever want to finance a car or buy a house with a mortgage, you're going to need to have a credit history. Until our world figures out another way to measure a buyer's trustworthiness, establishing credit is the only way to do it. Now, I know it seems counterintuitive, but you need credit to establish credit. So how do you do it, you're asking? I recommend opening up a retail card because they are easy to get. You go to a store where you want to buy something, and even though you have the cash in hand, you open a credit card. Sometimes the store will give you the option to pay the bill that same day, and I recommend doing that. Others make you wait for the bill to come in the mail. When that bill comes, pay it all off at once. Do that a few times, and voila, you have credit. Then apply for a low-interest credit card. Only use it for purchases you know you can pay off right away, so you'll never pay interest. By the time you are ready to buy a house or a car, your credit rating is stellar. The higher your credit score is, 700, 800, the lower your interest rates will be when you go to make a major purchase like a home or a car. Never ever waver from this. If you can't afford something, put it through the psychological test. If it will give you freedom, save for it. On to the third step. Pay yourself first. When 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds come to work for me, I tell them all the same thing I'm going to tell you now. Pay yourself first. Here is a statistic that you are not going to believe, and it is one that needs much more airtime than it currently gets. If you are a young man or woman, you can put away just $50 a week for a 10-year period of time. You'll end up with $1.2 million by the time you're 62 with the historical rate of market return. Most companies offer a 401k or another type of retirement savings opportunity that allows you to easily deduct from your pay. Inquire about it. If your workplace doesn't offer one, go to your bank and see if you can have a portion of your paycheck invested each week in an account you can't access. Become relentless about this. Make it automatic and build it into your lifestyle. Every time your present-day self goes to spend money, I want you to think of your future self. Will he or she have the money needed to retire, go on vacations, live comfortably, peacefully, and freely? Could that money be saved? The answer is probably yes. Start investing the money you can afford to set aside as soon as possible, preferably in a matched 401k, and let the power of compound interest work for you. I don't think you have to worry about the best degree to become a millionaire or the best industry to become a millionaire. Instead, to become a millionaire, simply pick an in-demand blue-collar career, understand your money mindset, establish credit, pay yourself first, and create a retirement plan. Doing these things early on will make sure you're on the right path. Now, before I close out the show, I just want to answer one more question that I was pretty much emailed consistently. I really don't like to get into, you know, stocks and stuff like that because it could get complicated, but I'm going to try to answer this question as best to my knowledge. Okay, I keep getting emails about stocks and dividends, etc. I just want to let you know that you got to remember, dividends are payments a company makes to share profits with its stockholders. They're paid on a regular basis, and they are one of the ways investors earn a return from investing in stock. Any money that is paid out in a dividend is not reinvested in the business. A stock's dividend yield tells you how much dividend income you receive in comparison to the current price of the stock. So buying stock with a high dividend yield can provide a good source of income, but be careful, it can also get you in trouble. You might be asking why. If a business is paying shareholders too high a percentage of its profits, it may be a sign that management prefers not to reinvest in a company given the lack of upside. Don't start by looking at the dividend yield when deciding what stock to pick, but start by looking at their financial strength and dominant market share. So here's an example. Let's say you buy a $30 a share stock that pays $3 a year in dividends. You might be initially thrilled with your impressive 10% annual dividend yield. $3 dividend divided by $30 stock price. The stock's yield is 500% larger than the S&P 500's roughly 1.6% yield. Now, the stock crashes to $15 a share, and the company holds the dividend the same. Applying the same dividend yield formula, the stock's dividend yield doubles to 20%. Looks great, right? But wait a second. Despite the higher yield, you're worse off because you lost $15 a share on the stock. It will take 5 years of $3 dividend payments just to break even on your stock loss. This is why chasing yield is often a bad idea when looking for high dividend stocks. High yields are often a mathematical distortion of a declining stock. And just for a disclaimer, this is not financial advice. This content that I just said here is for educational purposes only. I hope that this all helps you. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I want to thank everyone for following us on Instagram, joining the Facebook group. If you have a question, comment, concern, want to be on the show, show topics, etc., hit us up, pestequitypodcast@gmail.com, and we will see you all on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of the Pest Equity Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast and join the Facebook group. Have a question or topic for the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.